I'm going to talk. I'm not going to use your notes this morning. I'm going to talk on something different than that. It's because I had that on my heart. So, you know, how many of you, of course, you know, if you're paying attention to the news at all, you're familiar with what happened in Minneapolis several weeks ago with George Floyd and then riots and things like that that have been happening around the country. And what I'm going to talk about this morning is go take some new ground. As we can call it that, because I just came up with that title just a little bit ago. Go take some new ground. Here's what I love. I have a friend. His name is Josh. He lives in the Minneapolis area. He's an evangelist. And what I love is, you know, there's just all kinds of pain and brokenness and confusion and hurting and all kinds of craziness going on right now. But here's what I love. He's part of like this, a whole bunch of ministries just gathered together. And, you know, there's where all the riots were happening at the spot where George Floyd was killed. And these ministries, they've been going in there and preaching the gospel and just loving people and just sharing Jesus with people and actually having worship concerts, like right there on the, like in the, that corner where George Floyd was killed. And they have a cow feeding tank there filled with water. And they're just baptizing people left and right that are getting saved. People are getting healed there. I mean, he's posting about it on Facebook. And now Fox News put an article on this, on people who are preaching the gospel down there and all this kind of stuff happening. And here's what I love. It's like the enemy comes in and he wants to bring destruction, but the people of God, rather than backing off, they charge straight into the craziness with Jesus. And they bring, and the gospel is the key for reconciliation. Amen. For racial reconciliation, for socioeconomic reconciliation, you know, any kind of reconciliation you can think of, the key is the gospel. It's Jesus, the Messiah, who's the Lord of all the races. Amen. Who's the Lord of all, who loves all. It's one family, one Father, one Lord. Amen. And that's God. So I absolutely love this attitude. They're like, man, we could sit back and just be like, this is crazy. What's going on? You know, what could we do? But instead, they just go straight into it with Jesus and take the devil on. Isn't that cool? And bring the light into the darkness, and God's breaking forth. I want to show you a video of a moment. Do you have that video ready, Matthew? Why don't you go ahead and get it up and ready, and then when it's up, okay, good. You can just do full screen. Okay, I want to show you this video. It's, you know, 5 minutes, 42 seconds. We'll watch some of it. I don't know how much. But this is a video he got with his phone, my friend Josh, and of what's happening down there. This is right on the corner. And it's like they're preaching the gospel. They're worshiping and prayer meeting. Like, they actually have a stage. And they're having worship concerts and prayer meetings and preaching the gospel and having and praying together. And this is a moment where the Spirit started moving, and there's reconciliation happening. And you just see black people, white people all over the place, just like praying for one another, hugging one another. It's amazing. It's absolutely awesome. So I wanted you to see it. Go ahead.
Hello. Find those people before you leave this place. Talk to all about trusting God.
When you go out to the grocery store, find somebody that doesn't look like you. We gotta be proactive. We gotta do something. We're not waiting for anybody to tell us to love each other, because God has already done it. Chains are breaking. Walls of division are breaking tonight.
This is so beautiful. And every Jesus race coming house. Together.
He's out here on the streets with us tonight. So we're just going to worship and continue to have those conversations. Continue to pray. Continue to speak into each other's lives. Amen.
Watch this. Look at these beautiful tears. See, this is what they don't show you on the media. They don't show you healing. They don't show you reconciliation. They don't show you forgiveness. This is the news that needs to get shared. This is the news that needs to spread. Is that out of the ashes, God gives beauty. Out of pain, God gives redemption. That God is so merciful. That out of a bad situation, God can turn it around. God can bring people together. God can bring our families together, our cities together, our races together. God can bring us all together. God can bring us together in the love of Jesus Christ. So there's revival happening here. God is uniting us. It's like a big family. The atmosphere is like a big bubble of love right here. From the George Floyd Memorial, it's like a bubble of love. It's like God is healing and restoring and connecting. So many tears, so much love is in the air. So I want to encourage you, God's on the move, and God can do this in your city. God can do this where you live. This is going to sweep America. I pray that this movement, this revival unity movement, this unity revival movement, I pray that it sweeps America, not civil war, not hatred, not division, but love and forgiveness and reconciliation and family and the nations flowing together, the nations loving each other, serving each other, praying for each other. Look at this. It's beautiful. Praying for each other. That there would be reconciliation. There would be healing. God would restore America. Church, rise up and take your place. Come out of hiding, church. Unite your communities. Unite your cities. Unite your nation. Church, come out of hiding. We need you, church. Come out of your buildings. Come out of your hiding. Your cities need you. Your neighborhoods need you. You have the answers. Bring people together in the love of God. Bring people together. We have what our society needs. We have it, church. Don't hide your light under a bowl anymore. Pastors and leaders, get out in the streets. Do worship meetings in the streets. Do baptismals in the streets. Do outreaches in the streets. Church, from Minneapolis, Minnesota, I'm signing off, and I challenge you, get into the darkness and shine your light.
Come on.
If the light doesn't shine, the darkness will take over. Church, we have what society needs. So from Minneapolis, Minnesota, George Floyd Memorial, God bless you. Be praying for us, and go do this in your city too. I love you all. God bless you. Amen.
Isn't that awesome? I was telling you, it's just like Autumn said. If you can turn on the light now. Thank you, Heidi. It's like what Autumn was talking about faith, you know. It's just this charge into the darkness with the light and be bold in Jesus. Amen. He said, fear causes us to, you know, keep to ourselves the love of Christ that's in us. But with faith, it's just like, I'm going, and I'm going to let this love bomb inside of me go off. You know, I'm going to detonate this thing where people are going to get blasted with the love of God. Amen. I remember reading a story not reading a story, watching a video, transformations video. Some of you have seen this. I've shown it, I think, a couple times at different points in the church meetings or whatever. And there's a story in Africa. I can't remember the country. But there was this, it was like an army, but it was the LRA. It was the LRA is what it was called. And it was a demonically charged army. It was this guy who was like totally demon-possessed, massively into witchcraft. And he was empowered by demons, and he would go and he would round up people to go with him, and they would go and they would just attack and kill and torture and mutilate people in different villages, and then they'd take the young men or the boys captive and force them to be soldiers in their army. It was completely demonic. And it was, they were just ravaging this area of Africa. And he had this one like mountain that nobody would go to, but it was like his high point where he would go when he'd start feeling the demonic power that was giving him success weaken. He would retreat. He would go to this mountain and he would do his witchcraft sacrifices and all this stuff. And he'd get, you know, charged up, whatever it is, with the demonic power. And it's like, nobody would go on that mountain. Nobody would go near. They're like, it's haunted. There's evil spirits. And there were, and the water, like there were little bodies of water on that mountain that were like poisoned. It was like just, it was such a evil atmosphere on this mountain. And then finally he made a mistake. He attacked a Christian school and he took a whole bunch of the students captives into his army. And that, what it did is, it was a horrible thing, but what it did is it stirred up the people of God. The people of God, they started gathering together and they started fasting and they started praying and the Holy Spirit started convicting them of their own. He's like, the reason these demonic spirits have access, he has access to these spirits here, is because of your sin, of your compromise and your sin and the sin of the people of the nation have opened up doors for demons in this nation. And they started repenting of their sin and turning away from it. And they were praying and fasting. And then finally, the army of the nation, like not the bad army, but the good army, it was like the national army, says, they kept trying to attack these guys and stop them from doing their terroristic things, but they couldn't stop them. Like every time it looked like we had them, we're going to ambush them, then the evil spirit would warn them, don't go there, they're waiting in ambush for you, and they wouldn't go. And so it was the key to his victory was this demonic assistance that he had. And then finally, the army went to the church, and they got a bunch of pastors in the church. And they say, we need your help because this is a spiritual problem. It's not just a military issue. We need this is not going to be solved by military might. We need a spiritual breakthrough to cut off the stuff that's empowering him. And so they went with the pastors to the mountain, his stronghold, this demonic mountain. And I remember they stood there, and the soldiers are armed with their guns. There's nobody on the mountain at this point. It's just an empty mountain, but it's just charged with demonic power, and there's fear. And these soldiers are just like trembling at the base of the mountain, and no one's going to step foot on that mountain. They're so scared to step foot on the mountain. And then there's, it's like the spirit of fear in the atmosphere intimidating them. And then finally, there was this one pastor. He just broke rank. And he just charged up the mountain. He runs up the mountain. He runs straight to the poison water, dips his hand in it, and drinks it. And he was completely okay. And all of a sudden, the spirit of fear was broken by an act of faith. The spirit of fear was broken by an act of faith. And they're sold, and everybody started charging on the mountain. And in the unbelievers that were in the army that were there started repenting of their sins. They're just weeping. And they baptized them in those very waters that were poisoned a few minutes ago. There's video. They're just sitting there baptizing them in the water. And they just claimed that ground from the evil one. They claimed it for God. And then there was a shift. And there was a breakthrough even in the fight against this evil army. And they started seeing breakthrough. And they ended up, the bad army started fled to another country, another area. I just like the message that's in my heart this morning is it's time to go take ground. Like this week, this week. Go take something from the devil this week. Go take something from the devil this week. I'm serious. At least one thing. Just say, this week, I'm going to go share the gospel with somebody. This week, I'm starting a discipleship group. This week, I'm going to find somebody with demons and cast them out. This week, I'm going to find a sick person and heal them. This week, there's going to be a dead person. I'm going to pray for them to be resurrected. I'm serious. I'm talking about let's take new ground this week. Because when the people of God are just in unbelief, there's an inactivity that comes with fear, and it's broken by taking a step of faith. I bet you that pastor who charges up that mountain, I bet you he didn't feel tons of faith when he charged up the mountain. My guess is he was probably feeling afraid like everybody else was. It's not a sin to feel fear. It's a sin to submit to fear. You guys with me? A demon can come and he can energize wrong emotions temporarily, but we submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So it's like he can come and say, you can't go share the gospel. They're going to reject you. You're going to look dumb. And it's like, I may feel afraid. I may be trembling on the inside when I go talk to this person, but I'm doing it anyway. Amen. You with me? Because I'm not going to obey fear. I'm going to obey the word. And that's the difference between fear and faith. And so it's like, I bet you that pastor was feeling scared, but he's just like, this ain't right. We're the people of God. They're demons. Jesus is on our team. You know, and so he charges up the mountain. And this is what's interesting to me. When he steps out in faith, the power of God breaks in and the demonic resistance is shattered. Now, I wonder how many strongholds the devil has that he puts up a bold front to act like he's so strong to intimidate us from stepping out in faith. But I wonder how many, it's just a house of cards. It's just a house of cards. And one believer just takes a step of faith and goes, and the power of God comes and breaks it open. It's like, oh my goodness, why were we waiting all this time? Why were we waiting all this time? There's a story in 1 Samuel 14. You can turn there in your Bible. And I could have picked so many stories. This is a theme that's repeated over and over again throughout the Bible. The theme of people having, God's people having great faith, destroying the works of the devil, and doing great things that glorify Jesus because of it. So I want you to just, as the Holy Spirit brings things to your mind, what is new ground that you can take this week? And the Holy Spirit, I'm just trusting he's going to bring stuff to your mind. Like even as I'm talking, write them down on your notes. That way you can at least use them for something since I'm not preaching those notes. But write down, say, this week I'm doing this. Like what is an act of faith you can do to take ground in some area? And honestly, I had this on my heart earlier. It may be something like, I'm thinking, taking new ground, I'm share the gospel, all this kind of stuff. But it may be something like, like there's a sin in your life that's a stronghold for you. And it may be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to burn those magazines. Or I'm going to take the drugs, I'm going to take the alcohol, and I'm throwing them away. I'm getting rid of them. I'm burning them. Or whatever it is, you know, you can apply it. Holy Spirit will help you apply it in your own life. But what about this week? Instead of in fear, like, I can't overcome this. I can't do that. It's like, you can do that in the grace of God. You can do that in the grace of God, but you won't do that if you keep believing the lie that you cannot. And you sit back and do nothing. You'll never see the miracles of God. I mean, I don't want to live that way. One thing that is so attractive to me about my wife, we've been like this together, like from the very beginning. One of our very first dates is we went to Burger King and we're sharing the gospel with a guy. That was one of our first dates. Actually, that wasn't even an official date. That was just that was a pre-date. We weren't officially a thing yet, but I was a hopeful thing in my mind, but I was like, hey, I'm going to Burger King to share the gospel with the security guard there. You want to come with me? She's like, sure. I'm like, awesome. So, but one of the things I find so attractive, and I always have loved this about her and about us, is we've always had this, like, I refuse to settle for anything less than the book of Acts. I refuse to settle for normal American Christianity, which is non-revival. Like, I refuse to settle for that. Like, I'm not going to be one of the 90-something percent that don't share their faith. I will share my faith, and I'm going to expect God to save souls. I am not going to be one of the ones who I've never cast a demon out of anybody. I'm going to pray with people. I'm going to cast out demons. I'm going to pray for the sick, and I want to see the sick healed. I want to raise the dead. That's why I've prayed for dead people to be resurrected. I haven't seen it happen yet, but I'm going to keep praying. I mean, no, if we never step out in faith to do the stuff Jesus said to do, we'll never see the things he wants to do. And I think, I love, Josh is just a little fireball. I love that guy. He's a man of God. What I love about him, I love people. God's raising up this fiery breed of believers right now in the United States. I mean, he's raising up, there's thousands of us who have this same fiery spirit, who just have this attitude like, I'm not just going to do what we've done for generations and think, and then when I read the book of Acts, that looks nothing like the book of Acts. I'm not just going to act like this is okay. I'm going after the book of Acts because that's the word, that's the will of God. Amen? I want to be one of these guys. And even if I never raise the dead, it is not going to be because I didn't pray for them to be resurrected. If I never cast out a demon, it's not going to be because I didn't try. If I never see a sick person healed, I have. Oh, except the resurrection part. I've seen the other ones, though. But I'm just saying hypothetically. If I never see it, it's not going to be because I don't go for it. And that's what I love about my wife. That's what I love about us, like the grace that God's put on our life. It's like, man, that's kind of a crazy idea. That's radical. I mean, I don't know how many times, you know, God's like, take your savings, give it all away. And she comes to me like, I feel like we should do this. And I'm just like, yes, let's do it. And we just do it. I love that about us, you know. Or other times I'm like, you know, I feel like we're supposed to uproot our family from our comfortable life in Pier, which is near all of our other family that we love so much. And I feel like we're supposed to move to this place and plant a church. And she's like, yes, let's do it. And I just love that. Other times, you know, we're like, whoa, did you hear God's moving? God's moving at this place in Florida and thousands are being saved and healed. And then I love it. This is just like us. She's just like, you know what? This actually happened while we were in Huron. A revival broke out, another one in Florida, number like 2008, 2009. And we were watching it on TV. We see all these people being healed. And I remember we're just watching it online and we're being touched by the Lord. And we just look at each other. We're like, you know, next Sunday after church, if we put the kids in the car right away and we drove all the way down there, it's a 30-hour drive nonstop. We drove all the way down there. We could get there for a couple revival services and then get back before next Sunday. And I'm like, we're like, let's do it. And we just did it. You know what I mean? We just like get in the car. Kids were little at that time. Put them in the car and we just drove literally all night long, 30 hours straight. It was a very long drive. But it was fun. It was a good time. We encountered the Lord there. But man, that, can I tell you something? Here's what I want to get to. That is the spirit of James River Church. That's our DNA. Like when we came to James River Church, that we were going, let's take a city for God. Who talks like that? People who read the book of Acts and saw it happen and say, wow, we can take cities for God? Let's do it. Acts chapter 9, you can read it. I'm like, let's do it. Let's see God break forth. And that's the spirit of our church. I remember Matt Breams one time, you know, after he came for a while, he visited our church. And then he was here, and later on he was like on staff as associate pastor. And I remember like, you know, you come to our prayer meetings on Friday night and we're praying crazy stuff. We're like, God, take the city. Or, I mean, we're just praying radical stuff, revival. I remember him saying to me one time, he's like, you know, somebody who didn't really know us, but they just kind of sat in and listened to us pray. He goes, they would think those people are either crazy, like they're delusional thinking what's possible, or these are people of great faith, one or the other. And I'm like, amen. That's who we are. We are people of great faith, not people that just play it safe. We're people of great faith that take new ground for God. So, Jonathan, 1 Samuel 14, verse 1. One day, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost." Now, in the natural, this is the stupidest idea you could ever imagine doing. Because what's ended up happening is King Saul, Jonathan's dad, is anointed by the Spirit to conquer the Philistines because they're oppressing Israel, the nation that he's leading. And so he gets a elite troop force together, and he attacks a Philistine outpost, and he wins. And it's just like a little victory, right? A little outpost. But what it does is it ticks off the Philistines. And the Philistines spread word, and this massive army, Philistine army, gathers, marching against the Israeli army. And there's like huge army. I mean, it's like it says in verse chapter 13, verse 5, as many warriors as the grains of sand on the seashore. I mean, that's a lot of warriors. And the problem was this: Israel only had a few thousand people in their army. And they're looking at this giant army. We're like way outnumbered. Plus, it gets even worse for them. Not only are they vastly outnumbered, the other they had just weaponry, like swords and metal, you know, weapons and spears, javelins, those kind of things, just started being invented around this time. But Israel, there was no blacksmith in Israel, and so nobody in the Israeli army had even a sword. Just have like clubs and stuff like that. But there's but Saul and his son Jonathan, they're the only ones who had swords, two swords in the whole army. But the whole Philistine army, they got blacksmiths over there. They're, you know, armored up. They got all the stuff. So they got, plus they got chariots, all the, I mean, it's like, oh my goodness, you got the most powerful weapons. You have a way bigger fighting force than we have. This looks like a disaster. And there's a standoff between the army of God and the enemy. And they're kind of there. And then it gets worse for Israel. Because Saul's men, they're not stupid. They look at the facts and they're like, we're outnumbered. We're outweaponed. We're going to die. Like, this is terrible. So some of them fled from the battle and they went hiding in caves so that Saul couldn't find them and force them to fight. So now, like, most of your army just went AWOL. Worse. It gets worse. Some of the army said, wait a minute. If you can't beat them, join them. And they actually went to the Philistines and surrendered and joined their army. They're like, hey, we'll be with you. We'll be loyal to you. Can you believe? Saul looks around and he's got 600 soldiers left. And he's like, this is bad. And they're just standing there. They're trembling in fear. And all of a sudden, his son Jonathan says, I'm done with this. He's like, he rises up in faith. He's like, God is with us. And listen to what he says. I just got to read it to you. He says to his armor bearer, he's like, hey, come on. He's like, let's go over to where the Philistines had their, let's go attack them. So this isn't even just a defensive faith that says, hey, you know what? I believe God is with us. I'm going to stand my ground. And if they attack us, God will protect us. He's like, no, let's go pick a fight. He's like, let's go take the enemy on because God is with us. And then he's like, let's go over there. But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. Probably because his dad was afraid and wouldn't have let him do it. Meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men were camped on the outskirts of Gibeah around the pomegranate tree at Migron. Among Saul's men was Ahijah the priest, who was wearing the ephod. It goes on. I'm just going to skip to verse. It says, no one realized that Jonathan had left the Israelite camp. To reach the Philistine outpost, Jonathan had to go down between two rocky cliffs that were called Bozez and Sina. The cliff on the north was in front of Michmash, and the one on the south was in front of Geba. I love what he says. Listen, this is Jonathan's reasoning. This is the way a person of faith thinks. This is the way they reason. I want you to get this. This is important. Let's go across to the outpost of those pagans, Jonathan said to his armor bearer. Listen, perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle. Whether he has many warriors or only a few, I mean, you know, God, to be honest, God could wipe that whole army out by himself. He doesn't even need us. Just God against them is such a mismatch. They are so outweaponed and so outnumbered against God. I mean, God would easily beat them. So, hey, if God is fighting with us, it doesn't matter if there's two of us and tens of thousands of them and they have all these weapons, because God is with us. Now, this is the way people of faith reason. And it's the opposite of the world. The world's like, look at the facts. You know, you do this, you do this, you do this. And the people of God are like, what did God say? What did God say? And God said, I want to give you victory. Amen. So then, I love the response of his armor bearer, verse 7. Do what you think is best, the armor bearer replied. Now, listen, this isn't just a casual thing. If Jonathan's wrong, armor bearer is going to die with him. But the armor bearer is like, hey, you do what you think is best. He says, I am with you completely, whatever you decide. He says, if you decide that it's, you know, it's not the Lord that we go, I'm with you completely. We won't go. But if you say it's God, I'm going. I'll go with you. I love that. I just want to tell you, Autumn, I just had that in my heart this morning, that gathering the generals, like, I'm with you completely. Like, let's do it. Let's go destroy the works of the devil and take ground for Jesus in August. All right, then, Jonathan told them, we will cross over and let them see us. If they say to us, I love his strategy. He's like, puts a fleece out before the Lord. Because he's like, I'm going. He's like, but Lord, stop me. Like, if this is foolishness and it's not your will that I do this, I'm giving you a way to stop me. So he says this. Like, that's a way I do that all the time with the Lord. Like, I'm making a decision and I'm like, God, tell me what to do. Sometimes he tells me, do this. And then I know it's easy. I just do it. But there's a lot of times he doesn't tell me. And I'm like, I still got to make this decision, Lord. Deadline's coming. I don't hear anything. And when he's not saying anything, I know he's just saying, you choose. You do whatever you think is best, and I'll back you. And so even then, this is what I usually do. I'm like, okay, well, Lord, this is what feels best to me. According to the scriptures, the way I understand it, this looks like it would glorify you the most. I'm making this decision. But here's what, I actually do this. Now I got to make the phone call, Lord, and tell the person. And once I do, there's no backing out. So Lord, before I call, I'm going to wait 5 minutes. I set my timer. I'm just going to pray in tongues for 5 minutes. And it's your responsibility to stop me right now. Because once I do this, we're doing it. And I'll set my timer, pray in tongues, wait for worship, whatever I do, 5 minutes. And if I still feel good about it in my spirit at the end of that, I make the phone call and I do it in faith. Whatever it is. And I just say, okay, he's with me then. And but Jonathan, and sometimes actually there's been times where he stopped me. There's been times where, you know, all of a sudden like this thought came. I'm like, oh, wow, I never thought about it from that angle. And I'm like, okay, wait. And I listen. I'm like, thank you, Holy Spirit. Because I always want to inquire of the Lord. I don't want to just make decisions. I want to inquire of the Lord. But sometimes you got to make decisions and you're not hearing something. And so that's something I do. I'll just say, hey, this is what sounds best according to how I understand the word, the principles of God. I'm going to do this. But before I do it, you got 5 minutes or whatever it is. Sometimes 30 seconds, whatever you got. Then Jonathan said, okay, we will cross over to them and let them see us. If they say to us, stay where you are or we'll kill you, then we will stop and not go up to them. But if they say, come on and fight, then we will go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them. So when the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes. Because literally they had gone hiding into caves. So this is actually literal. Then the men from the outpost shouted to Jonathan, come on up here and we'll teach you a lesson. So they're just cocky, they're arrogant, because they know we got all the firepower and we got all the manpower. I dare you to come up here. That's basically what they're saying. So come on. And then I love his response. He says, we'll teach you a lesson. And then Jonathan goes, come on, climb right behind me. He said to his armor bearer, for the Lord will help us defeat them. I love another version. It's like, the Lord has given them into our hands. I just love that response because he had this sign. They tell us to come up. Now, here's the deal. What's interesting to me about this sign, it seems like in the natural, of course, the army's not going to be afraid. The Philistine army is not going to be like, wait, stay there. If you come any closer, we'll kill you. they're going to probably say, I dare you, two of you, to come over here against us and we'll slaughter you. That's more likely what they're going to say. So it's like, if they do that, I'm going. It's a sign that God's with us. So they're like, yeah, come, we'll kill you. And he's like, we got him. He's like, we got him. It's a sign. God's with us. So they climbed up using both hands and feet, and the Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed those who came behind them. They killed some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered over about half an acre. Listen to this. Remember this principle. You step out in faith, and then God supernaturally steps out with you. Suddenly, panic broke out in the Philistine army. That was the Lord doing that. Both in the camp and in the field, including even the outposts and raiding parties. And just then, at that exact moment, an earthquake struck and everyone was terrified. I mean, when you got God on your side, he has weapons that man can't do. So they step out in faith and they get a little bit of victory. God's helping them. And then all of a sudden, the absolute confidence and cockiness that the enemy was feeling turns into terror. And it flips around and the people of God are filled with faith. Like, oh man, God's with us. And God just, you know, puts an exclamation point, sends an earthquake right then. And the Philistines are freaking out and they're running. And it says, Saul's lookouts in Gibeah of Benjamin saw a strange sight. The vast army of Philistines began to melt away in every direction. Call the roll and find out who's missing, Saul ordered. And when they checked, they found out that Jonathan and his armor bearer were gone. Then Saul shouted to Ahijah, bring the ephod here. For at that time, Ahijah was wearing the ephod in front of the Israelites. But while Saul was talking to the priest, the confusion in the Philistine camp grew louder and louder. So Saul said to the priest, never mind, let's get going. Then Saul and his men rushed out to the battle and found the Philistines killing each other. How many of you know that's an act of God? I mean, God just like flipped so much panic and confusion. They were just killing one another. Even the Hebrews, listen to this, who had previously gone over to the Philistine army, revolted and joined in with Saul. I mean, these guys, I don't trust them very much. I'm just saying. They just like find who's going to win. They're the person that whatever team is supposed to win the Super Bowl, they're like, they're going to win. You know, and then when it's not that way in the fourth quarter, they're like, no, I've been rooting for this other team all along, you know. But it looks like, you know, we're with Israel, and then the other team's going to win. They're like, oh, no, we're going to the Philistines. And all of a sudden it switches. They're like, we're back with Israel. But praise God, that's where they should have been all along. So, but even them, they joined in with Saul, Jonathan, and the rest of the Israelites. Likewise, the men of Israel, listen, who were hiding in the hill country of Ephraim, joined the chase when they saw the Philistines running away. Here's what God does. God raises up people of courage who act in faith. And many of the people of God, they're intimidated by the enemy. They're afraid. And so they're silent. That's what it's like when they're hiding in the caves. They're just silent. They do nothing. They say nothing. Just blend in with the crowd. I'm not going to revolt and join the enemy. I know better than that. I'm not going to the devil's team. But I'm not going to be really bold on God's team. I'm just going to be like, you know, a silent believer. I'm with Jesus, but... But then a few bold ones, like Josh, they just go out there and they start taking ground. And it's like, oh my goodness, the Bible's really true that the weapons of our warfare are powerful for the tearing down of strongholds. Like the gospel is good news that brings salvation and destroys the works of the devil. And then they get emboldened by the faith of others when they start seeing the victory. And here's the thing. This is what we want to be. We want to be the Jonathan and his armor bearer. I don't want to be the one hiding in the cave, but I surely don't want to be the one going to the devil's side. But I want to be the Jonathan and his armor bearer who are going for it on the promises of God. But here's the key, listen. But I want to have the humility and the graciousness of heart that when those guys who chickened out at first start coming, I don't want to be like, yeah, now you're here. Like, forget you, man. No, I don't want to be that. I want to be like, praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord that he strengthened your faith. I've known what it's like to feel intimidated and scared before, and I needed God's grace to just stir my faith up again. Praise God. Welcome, brother. And just let's run together. and let's do this thing. That we want to have that humble, gracious spirit. You guys with me? That's going to be so important because many, many times throughout the Bible, and this is just the way it works. It's like a lot of times there's people who are afraid, but then God raises up some, and then the others are emboldened. And we need to be gracious because I'm going to tell you what, God is raising up an army in the United States of America. It's not a physical army. It's a spiritual army. It's the people of God. It's the followers of Jesus. And we are going to go and destroy the works of the devil and take the land for Jesus. And he's raising them up. And there'll be a few people who are going out there at first, but the others are coming. And we need to be encouraged by that. The others are going to come. Praise God. Reinforcements are on their way. Amen. And we all share in the joy and the reward together. And all the glory doesn't go to the first two. It goes to Jesus where it belongs. Because even Jonathan and his armor bearer, their faith was a gift of grace that was given to them by the Lord. So they reacted the opposite of what would be natural. Verse 23, so the Lord saved Israel that day. And the battle continued to rage even beyond Bethaven. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go take new ground this week. Take new ground this week. I just want to ask the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, what new ground can I take this week? I'll just let you write down what he says to you. I'm just going to give you a few minutes to do this. What if next Sunday we just came here with spoils? We just shared testimonies of the glory of Jesus breaking out this week. It doesn't even have to be something giant or gargantuous, huge thing. It can be just something simple like, you know what? I am going to take the ground of being in the Word this week every single day. I've been struggling with that. This week, every day, I'm getting into the Word. This week, I'm going to conquer this thing that's been conquering, this fleshly thing that's just been conquering me. It's killing my time. That's just stealing my time. That's stealing my faith. It's like, you know what? I'm done. Why am I submitting to that thing? Like, it's so powerful. It's so weak. Christ in me is so powerful. I can conquer this. I'm not a slave to my flesh. Going to give you a minute or so, just write it. You can just write stuff down. I really want to just take time and give you space to be able to think and to put stuff down. I want to leave the room with marching orders. I love that Kendall's starting up this prayer at his house on Saturday evening. I love it. It's like, take new ground. Amen? Yeah? Saturday nights, we're taking it for Jesus. He's taking it for Jesus. That's what he's doing. It's awesome. We're going to pray here. I want to just quickly tell you a story of the Syrophoenician woman who whose daughter was demon-possessed. And she knew that only a miracle from God could help her daughter. There was no doctor that could help what her daughter was dealing with. And she's a good mama. So she's like, I'll do whatever it takes. And she hears the testimonies of Jesus casting demons out and healing people all over the place. She's like, I have got to go get Jesus to deliver my daughter. He's the answer. So she comes up to Jesus. With great faith, Jesus himself said that. He says, woman, you have great faith. She comes up to Jesus, exercising great faith. Jesus, heal my daughter. He says nothing. Silence. No response. It looks like it didn't work. She had genuine great faith. She was exercising it. It's not working. He's not even listening. He's not even responding. Have you ever had that happen to you before? Like you're praying for a breakthrough? Silence from heaven. You're praying for nothing. God, God, help me. Nothing. Just silent. And the enemy would lie to you and say, you just don't have enough faith. It depends if you quit or if you keep asking. Because this woman, she just wouldn't take no for an answer. She kept asking until finally he apparently rejected her. He turns to her and says, listen, he says, you're not a Jew. I was only sent in this season. My ministry assignment is to the house of Israel. Can't help you. She just don't let her she just humbles herself and won't let go. She's like, Lord, you know, even the dogs can eat crumbs that fall from the table. I mean, you know, she's like, it doesn't take much for you to heal my daughter. I mean, I understand you're spending most of your time here, but just a little crumb, you know, it's all I need. And then it looks like she's exercising her faith and it looks like it doesn't work again, but she doesn't stop. She keeps doing it. Finally, Jesus says, woman, you have great faith. You have great faith. You can go home now. Your daughter's healed. You see, literally, it was just a crumb. That's all needed. I mean, he didn't even have to go there. He didn't have to pray a prayer. That's pretty cool. He didn't even like, okay, in the name of Jesus, may your daughter be healed right now. He didn't even do it. He's just like, okay, fine. Your daughter's healed. Done. And she went home and found her daughter completely well. What I love about that story is this, is exercising great faith. It's not like the first time you go after something, you may see a breakthrough. What if the first time you go after something, nothing moves? The mountain's still there. You speak to it, tell it to be removed again. It's still there. Silence. Or worse, what if it looks like the opposite is happening? It gets worse. Have you ever had that happen? You're engaging your faith and believing for the miracle, and then the situation goes the opposite direction and gets worse. People of great faith don't let go of the promise. They just keep asking and keep knocking, and the door will be opened. Amen? So you just keep going after it, and that's what she did. And eventually the door opened, and then Jesus looks at her and he says, I mean, I knew you had great faith. This is, I'm giving him a little bit of words here, but as I'm reading into what he was thinking, he's like, I could see it right away that you had great faith. I just wanted to show my disciples what this looks like, what great faith looks like. So I was kind of like drawing it out of you. He's like, you have great faith. It's done for you. This is who we are. So I want you to stand with me. I want to do two things this morning. First thing I want to do, I want to ask you to take a step of faith and enter the kingdom of God if you've not done so yet. Because there comes a point where you're like, man, I like this Jesus thing. I like this church. I like these people. I like these friends. I think there's something to this. I think it's real. But that's just being a fan of Jesus isn't enough. Because how many know there's like fair weather fans? There comes a point where you throw your lot in with him. And it's not just like, because your team seems to be winning right now. Because there's going to be moments where it seems like the other team is winning, but it's only temporary. Jesus wins in the end. Amen? And the enemy will try to get you to go to the other side. But there comes a point where, as an act of faith, you cross the line and you say, I will follow Jesus no matter what my friends say, no matter what my spouse says. No matter whether my children or parents like it or not, Jesus is my Lord. I will follow him. If it costs me my job, if it costs me the career that I always wanted to do, I will follow Jesus. He's my Lord. I'm going to follow him. And he'll forgive you of your sins. You can't just be like, well, I'm not even qualified. I'm such a bad person. I've done all this stuff. It's like, he says, yes, you just take a step forward in faith and you start following me. I'll take care of your sin. Good news is, he already took care of it on the cross. He died to forgive you and cleanse you from your sin. And when you, it's like Jonathan, when they stepped out in faith, then the power of God showed up at that moment and did what they could not do. And I like, that's how it is when it's like, well, I don't know if I can stop sinning though. I'm addicted to this. I don't know if I can do it. You obey the gospel in faith and say, I will follow you. And then the power of God will come into you, the Holy Spirit, and he will set you free from the power of sin and you can be free from it. A lot of people are like, no, I can't because I know I can never stop sinning. You're right. Without an act of God inside of you, you won't be able to. But God's like, you take the step and then I'll step in with you. So I want to invite you into the kingdom of God. And then what we're going to do is all of us in the room, we're going to pray. I'm going to have Lamisha come and pray because she has great faith. I love this woman, man. You hear Lamisha pray, it's just like scripture flying out of her mouth with power on it. It's like good. We're going to pray for us to be strengthened in our faith to go take new ground this week. So if you're here and you're like, I want to enter the kingdom of God. I want to say from this point, I'm going to follow Jesus. And what we're going to do is we're going to encourage you. We're going to have you get baptized like this week. Because that's what Jesus said to do. When you're going to follow him, he's like, repent and get baptized. And then you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that I just talked about. And so if you're like, I'm in, I want to do this, I'm all in, I want to follow Jesus, I just want you to hold up your hand right now. Yeah, awesome, man. Frank? All right. Gabe, Joseph, I love it. And what's your name, dude? Say it again. Johan? Awesome, dude. Praise God. And what's your name? Jessica. Awesome. I've seen you before somewhere. I have, yeah. Praise the Lord. I want us to pray for you guys. Is that okay? So I'm just going to, like, if you raise your hand, we have Gabe over here too. Yeah. I want you to just, if you can just come forward. Actually, you don't need to come forward. Just keep your hand up and we'll have people pray for you right where you're at. So just keep your hand up. Now, everybody turn around. If you're a follower of Jesus, I want you to pray with them and just lead them in a prayer to repent of their sins and receive forgiveness from Jesus and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So yeah, so someone praying for Johan. Yeah, just go ahead and pray for them. Someone praying for Gabe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joseph, yeah, good. Cool. Is someone praying with Emery back there? Someone pray with Emery. He had his hand raised. So Jesus, right now we come to you and we offer you our lives. Father, we turn away from our sin. We turn away from our disobedience. And we just set our hearts to follow you. God, we just receive forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus that paid for our sin in our place. And by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. We are free. Father, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just come right now in power. God, just touch them. Even now, God, we just speak grace over them. The power of a transformed life, we just speak it right now. The old is gone, the new is come. Father, we thank you that you're removing the old stony heart and you're giving them a tender heart that's full of the Holy Spirit. God, we just speak deliverance from sin. We speak forgiveness and the removal of shame associated with past sin. We just break the power of shame. We break the power of sin in Jesus' name. We break the power of addiction. And we release your presence in them now in Jesus' name. We release your presence right now in Jesus' name. New identity. You have a new identity in Christ. You are a child of God. God is your Father. He loves you. Today is your adoption day. You're adopted into the kingdom, into the family of God through Jesus. Father, we just release the spirit of adoption. Release the spirit of adoption in Jesus' name. Release the spirit of adoption. Release the spirit of adoption. Release that spirit of adoption. New beginnings. 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 Sharababa sotorodeala. Sherede beba robore la la kiet satare bebabo. Hela la 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 masia bari.
And keep you. Make his face shine upon you.
More, Lord.
And be gracious.
More, Lord. More, Lord. Shama. More, Lord. Shadadadabarabarare. More, Lord.
So we receive, we agree, amen.
Spirit of adoption right now, Lord. The spirit of adoption, Lord, grip our hearts. Children of God. Salvation. Salvation. New creation. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to pray. I want to have Lamisha pray for us as a church family to be strengthened in our faith and to go take new ground this week. But first, what I want to do with this, I want you, the person you were praying with and just leading them right now to Christ, I want you to talk with them about when you're going to baptize them. I want you to talk with them and baptize them. If you're a believer, just talk with them right now and set up a time. Say, hey, when do you want to get baptized? You can do it this afternoon. It's nice today. You can go down to the lake and just go in there. I'm going to show you how to baptize somebody. You ready? Come here, Lamisha. So, Lamisha, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Do you believe that he's forgiven you of all your sins? Do you believe? Are you willing to serve him and live for him? Okay. Then based upon your confession of faith, I now baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You ready? Okay. And then, all of you can do it. All of you can do it. If you're a follower of Jesus, you don't have to be a preacher to do it. Jesus told all of us, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I want you to just schedule a time, meet them. You can meet them at a lake or if, you know, wherever. Bathtubs work. I've done it in bathtubs. And what I want you to do is, if it's all right with them, ask their permission, but just take a video, have a video of their confession of faith, and then share it on the JRC family thread, so that we can rejoice with you, and just celebrate your baptism. That sound good? Okay, so I'll let you schedule that. Try to as soon as possible, sometime this week. So. I'm going to have Lamisha come pray. So I want you guys just to agree in prayer with Lamisha, just praying over our church, that God would strengthen us to have great faith and to take new ground for Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wasn't that a wonderful message? That was so beautiful. God is so awesome. So I just thank God for each and every one of you. I love you guys as your sister in Christ. And I just pray a blessing over us. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God. You are so marvelous, Lord. You are so excellent, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for Jesus Christ, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for salvation in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Father God. Lord, we thank you that we are soul winners, Father God, because your word says that the one that is a soul winner is wise, Father God. So we thank you for that, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you for the James River Church family, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that we are sewn and knitted together, Father God, in unity and love, Father God. So, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for what you have done in this building today, in our lives today, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for the souls that were won over to you in this day, Father God, for the angels in heaven are rejoicing even as of right now, Father God. So, Lord, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. We just thank you, Father God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, Lord, we thank you for everlasting life in Christ Jesus. And, Lord, I bless the each and every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ right now in this room, Lord. I bless them, Father God, and I ask that you be with them throughout this week, Father God. I speak Psalms 34:7 over them, Lord, that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him and they save them, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for being our refuge and our fortress, Father God. Thank you that we can and we will continue to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that your joy is our strength, Father God. And Lord, we bless you in this day, Lord, for you are so worthy, Father God. There is no God like you, Lord. And we thank you for this, Father God. We thank you for radical, awesome, great faith, Father God. Because without faith, Lord, it is impossible to please you. And Lord, that is what we are here for, to please you, Father God. So Lord, we thank you, Father God. We bless you, Father God. We love you. Lord, I seal this prayer in the blood of Jesus, each and every word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Go baptize them. Take new ground this week. And I want to hear some good stories next week. God bless you guys.